Okay, hi everybody and welcome to today's OBS-CSSA call on 21st of November. On the call we have Mike O'Connor, Olivier Capin-Leblanc. From staff we have Bart Boswinkel, Julie Hedlund, Patrick Jones and Christina Nordstrom. And apologies from Jim Galvin and Jörg Schweiger. I think that's it.
Thanks, Christina. Welcome all. So, I don't know, Olivier, are you in London or are you still in the sunny south of France? So that snowy picture is really an alien planet for you.
Still in the sunny south of France, but going to London on Wednesday, so.
Yeah. Well.
Next call, I will be under the rain.
Or in the fog.
Or in the fog, yes.
It's horrible.
Yeah. No, this is the first snow of the season for us, and this will last now until probably at least March meeting in Costa Rica. We'll be ready to go to Costa Rica by the time that let's see. Patrick, you're up. As always, just sort of to see what you've heard back from your gang on the board committee and all that good stuff.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't heard anything from them, and I also get the sense that many of the board members went off to various places. So The two that I need some confirmation from, I'm still trying to reach.
Okay.
So I don't have anything new, and I was in L.A. last week.
We could go into beg forgiveness rather than ask permission mode. I'll leave that up to you. I suppose being a staff guy, you know, you get fired for things like that. Volunteers can do that more easily. So we'll give them another week. Do you have any sense as to whether they're going to surface this week?
No, I don't. I'm trying to get an answer today, which is what I said last week, but still hoping.
Okay. Hey, there's Mark. He's back from Taipei.
I am back. Thank you.
Welcome back. We were wondering about you.
Oh, I see you guys.
I had Mark Astris to the attendee list. Cool. Oh, we're reassembling the gang. Okay, I've left a car update on there mostly to remind myself to tell you that, Olivier, I stitched your email into the notes for the Dakar meeting. Thanks for sending that summary of conversation.
It wasn't much, unfortunately, but we were under so much pressure for time, and for some reason the presentation crashed, so it was technical stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, we learned a lot about how to do this. Another one for the lessons learned column. But anyway, I put that in the notes, and I think that one of the things that we need to think about is we went into the Dakar meeting with a preliminary list of threats and vulnerabilities at a very, very high level. And at some point, we need to circle back to that list and do a couple of things. One, finish it. And two, reorganize it a bit. I got some feedback on the poll from Greg Aaron, I think, saying, you know, the DSS, DDoS attacks and reflected server attacks are really the same thing and could be combined. So just file that away, folks, that we haven't got a complete final list of threats and vulnerabilities yet. When we do that, I think is when we'll pick up the conversation about business failure and decide, you know, what to do on that one. So it's duly recorded, Olivier. That was the main thing I wanted to note there.
Okay.
I want to show you the latest version of my little spreadsheet. Because I've got a new approach to this that's kind of strange, which isn't unusual for me. That's not it. That's it. Let me get my screen back. Bah. I stayed up too late last night, so as a result, I'm a little sleepy this morning. There. Oh, that's pretty small. Let me make that a little bigger. The reason I'm showing it to you is because if it's okay with you, I want to show it to the group. That looks big enough. Can you guys see it on your screens okay?
Yep.
Okay. This is not quite standard methodology. It kind of looks like standard methodology, but it's not, because in the standard methodology, there would be vulnerabilities tied to threats, whereas what I'm doing here is I'm just trying to find a candidate for our first deep dive into one of our topics. And so this kind of looks like the framework that our analysis will eventually result in. But it's an opinion poll. It's not based on any fact. It's basically polling the group saying, well, based on what you know and your intuition and your common sense, what do you think the likelihood of physical events is? What do you think the impact is? And what do you think the effectiveness of current controls is? And then at the end of the analysis, we'll be able to come back and support these views with factual analysis. So we'll be able to come back and say, well, we've looked deep into physical events and natural disasters, and based on our analysis, we believe that the likelihood, impact, and controls are thus. But I kind of liked Cheryl's addition to the opinion poll on the call last Thursday, where she said, well, I'd like to be able to at least express an opinion about the current state of controls. And I just wanted to check with you all. If it's okay with you, or if we fix it here, I'd like to take it to the slightly lighter attended DSSA call on Thursday, which is a holiday in the U.S., so a lot of people won't be on it, and test it with them. But I wanted to test it with you first. Is there any sort of visceral reaction to this approach, one way or the other? Mostly negative. I'm really interested in negative reaction. Oh, well, let me show you the rest. So what you see here is the first tier. So if you type in low, then it says low likelihood, it's green, and you'll see over here that it got a 10 score, and the place that it's getting those scores from is down here. And so what I've done in the NIST methodology, what they do is they assign logarithmic weights to the high, the low, medium, high, so that they force extreme scores. And so I followed that. I got a version of the spreadsheet from Jacques that looked almost exactly like this, except that it allowed people to put their own percentages in. And I kind of like the extremism approach, so I left it that way. But that's something else to consider. So, you know, going along, then if we said that likelihood was high and the controls were poor, then what we would get is still a pretty, except I've got it backwards, don't I? Yeah, hang on a minute. Fix that. Should be this way. Got interrupted. So you can see that toggling any of these can result in pretty huge swings in the scores. And, you know, that was actually a good thing in my view. But, you know, I'm interested in your reactions to that. And I'm also interested in your reactions to these definitions. Two columns come from NIST, and that's down on the bottom. The third column comes from the fevered mind of Mikey, and I'm also interested in, really interested in course corrections on those. And again, I'm just wanting other eyes on this. If it's okay, that's fine. If it's, because again, the goal of this is not something that I think we're going to publish to the world. I debated whether to circulate the results from the last poll on the list and decided not to, because I don't have any concerns about the content from a transparency standpoint, but I think it would be easily confusing to people if someone landed on that document out of context and thought that the DSSA group had already ranked these things, when in fact what we're doing is just taking an opinion poll to decide which one to do first. And so, again, this is purely for the purposes of polling the group as to which one to tackle first. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Mikey. Olivier, for the transcript. The methodology you use here is pretty much in line with methodology I have used in the past for risk assessment. The only factor I might say, actually, if you go back to the second page where you actually give the explanations, having the exercise of vulnerabilities 1, 2, 3, I think we might need to be a bit more granular in going between 1 and 2. 3 is, I mean, I might be wrong, but I have a feeling it's quite unlikely that anyone would have serious human injury or human death because of DNS attacks. I might be wrong, but I just think this is an option we'll probably use very seldom.
You know, the ones that I think about is SCADA attacks, where utility companies or railroads or something like that are using the DNS to manage their, I have to think about what SCADA stands for. Come on, you guys, help me out. SCADA stands for Control and Data, I can't remember. Anyway, it's the control systems for electric companies or something like that.
Would these be affected by DNS problems at top-level domain level?
Well, I just don't know. You know,
I don't know.
The guy from Boeing was on the GNSO. He was talking about using the DNS for air traffic control systems.
It's amazing how many things people either by mistake use DNS or rely on DNS for mission or very critical control applications.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah. I think that we may find, Olivier, that there's more use of the DNS in, and I tend to agree with what Mark is implying, inappropriate places than we are typically aware of. And so I kind of left it, well, I didn't consciously leave it in there. I just copied and pasted it. But I'm inclined to leave it in there and have this conversation amongst the group, because it might be interesting to go out and try and find out some of that, see if SCADA systems are in fact relying on DNS when we would probably, as security practitioners, saying, I'm not sure that's a real good idea.
But the thing is that it's kind of ironic about this is a lot of people think that they're not, and they don't realize that it there's like a fast failure from DNS to like some sort of alternative naming scheme. And if that failure is not there or some sort of implicit success is not there, it's amazing. They just don't realize it. They say no at first, but then they realize later, oh, wait a minute, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example. I own the domain name corp.com, which I got back before the web was invented. And there are an awful lot of Microsoft infrastructure shops that put acmecompany.corp.com into their Windows servers as their local domain. And by domain, I mean Windows domain rather than DNS domain. And as long as their infrastructure stays up, everything's fine and it's a totally internal system. But the first thing that Windows does when the server comes up is it looks for the domain in the DNS before it looks internally. And one day, when I reconfigured the server, I accidentally put a wildcard in for corp.com so that everything .corp.com resolved to my server, and my server A immediately melted down, and B, I got a whole lot of calls from people all across the country whose internal naming system failed over to mine. And so I think there's an interesting fast failure problem there that goes the other direction as well.
You're a vandal.
Well, I can tell you I turned the wild card off pretty fast because it's amazing how much traffic comes through when you wildcard corp.com. Corp.com turns out to be in the top 10 list of misconfigured names that hit the root, that ESSAC put out. Patrick, you know more about that than me, but I saw it in there and said, yeah, and corp.com gets a lot of traffic, too. So anyway, I think we could leave it in. And at a minimum, I think, Olivier, it's a very interesting discussion for the group to have. Any other reactions to this? Close enough for government work? Remember, this is just an opinion poll. And, I'm feeling the press of time. I kind of want to break out of deciding what to do mode and get us back into do mode. Otherwise, I think our DSSA group will get impatient. And, okay, I'm going to take that silence as a go-ahead and try it out on the group. And I'll try it out on Thursday, and if it passes the group, then I'll publish it to the list for people to fill out for a week from Thursday. The next one is related, and that's the best path to a work plan. And I'm getting kind of impatient on that one, too. I went out after the last call and took a look at that comparison tool that people mentioned on the call.
Was that helpful?
It's pretty out of date. And a lot of the methodologies are in a language other than English. So I started documenting that up in this corner. And got kind of tired of it. And the other thing that I'm going to make that a little bigger so it's easier for you to read. The other thing that started to come through is that for the methodologies that I could A, find, B, read, they all tended towards this structure that we've already begun to identify in the NIST stuff. And so my inclination is to go ahead and mine the NIST methodology and try and build a work plan from it, unless anybody just throws their body on a tracks. Oh, that's a good point, Patrick. This is not complete. I got tired of hitting paywalls and broken links and methodologies that said they were in English but didn't post an English version and, you know, stuff like that. Patrick, go ahead.
Yep, Patrick, for the record. It is good that you've gone through the steps of putting this map of risk management methods together and noting this, because eventually down the line when there is a report from the DSSA, having this either as background or shows the methods that the group went through, I think is useful.
I'm going to just put a note in here that says analysis of this tool isn't complete. Mikey got tired. Just so we don't pass this off as a complete thing and also attributing the blame. Now, one of the things that led to is that I know a fellow who runs a security consulting firm here in my hometown. And I used to freelance under his banner occasionally. Not so much for security stuff, but for stuff that was close to security that he didn't want to let go of a client relationship, and so he trusted me not to steal his clients, and so I would tend to do process improvement kind of consulting. Anyway, I called him up, and one thing led to another, and he knows the chief operating officer at the National Security Agency pretty well and said, you know, they've got to have done this analysis, because I sort of told him what we're up to. And I said, well, if they've got anything out in the public domain, you know, we're an instant channel to the public domain. So if they've got anything that's not under secrecy, I'd be really interested in seeing it. And I'd be especially interested in seeing methods. And one of the things that my pal said is that the NSA tends to use the NIST methodology, and that they might have some methods and or analyses that fit in that methodology that they could share. And so since the NSA is sort of a touchy topic with a lot of people, I wanted to let you know that I'd made that contact, so that I have no idea whether it's going to yield anything. And I haven't heard from this guy, but at the same time, I didn't want you to be surprised if suddenly the NSA shows up in the conversation. And I think I'll have to have a pretty candid conversation with this guy as to how we introduce his information and so on into our conversation, because I imagine that there's a fair amount of sensitivity to that. But I'm a hound for getting work that other people have already done and taking advantage of that. And if they've actually done the analysis that my friend thinks they've done, I think that it could move the ball forward a fair amount for us. So that's just a heads up for you. But I am curious as to whether there's any acute pain caused if we go ahead and sort of focus on that NIST methodology. It seems fairly straightforward. It's out in the public domain. A lot of people use it. It seems to fit with the expectations of the group. Jacques and Cheryl were both using similar language. Olivier, you were as well. And I'm feeling fair amount of urgency to get moving on the work plan. So I just want to check with you all and see if that's a problem. I'm not hearing any shrieks of pain, so I'm going to take that as no, carry on. And that said, I'm curious if anybody's got more, what I have is a summary document from NIST, and I've been meaning to go back and look and see if there is a detailed layer that sits somewhere underneath that that I could dredge up for examples and stuff. Has anybody ever used the NIST methodology and dug up those documents? It's not a big deal if you haven't. I just thought if, you know, Patrick, Mark, and, you know, you U.S.-based guys are a little more likely to have used it. But if you haven't, I'll go find it.
I have not. So this is greenfields for me.
Okay. Patrick, have you ever dug into this stuff?
So I have all of the 800 series that are related to work that we do. So and some of these you'll find in the referenced in the recent IANA functions RFP.
Ah, okay. Are they small files that you could just email them to me?
There'll be links to PDFs on the NIST site, which I can email around.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Because I couldn't, when I did it the first try, I couldn't find that section of the NIST site. So if you could just get me started, that would be.
Yeah, it's not real easy to find, but they also are there. I'll send it around.
That'd be great. Because with that, I can go off and chop together a first cut methodology. And what I'm hoping is that by a week from Thursday, we'll have a poll back that will give us a pretty good sense as to where to start, and we'll have the first cut at a methodology as to what we do when we start. And we can, you know, start the group on, an actual exercise in testing the methodology and doing some analysis and cranking out some material. Because underneath those seven or eight very high-level threats, for example, there are those giant mind maps that we have to delve back into and sort of put together our analysis. So that's great. That helps me a lot, Patrick. Thanks. Okay, I think we're on the path to a work plan. That's good. The last thing is just one that's held over because we kind of ran out of time before Dakar. And that's, Julie, did you drive? We made some changes, and I thought we all agreed.
Yeah, you know, Mikey, we did. But, you know, I'm still waiting for some suggested language from Mark on that section that had the issue on a third party validation or third, I forget it, I don't have it.
Yeah, I'm glad that Julie brought that up. That's fun. I need to take care of it. I'll do it by Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be terribly long.
No.
Thanks for that, Mark, because I just need some guidance of what you were thinking, so. Once I got that, I'll slot that in, and then I think we can have something that the full group can look at when we're happy with it.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's it for me. Anything else on people's minds that they want to bring up while we've got the gang together? All right, then. Well, for those of you who are going to miss the Thursday call because of Thanksgiving, have a great holiday. Every day is a Saturday for me, so I'll be on that call. 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving is pretty much a normal day around our household. So we'll see what develops on that call, and see you all in a week. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks, Christina. Great
Thanks,
job,
Maggie.
As always.